Today's daf is Menachas daf Tzadi Dalid. We left off in daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis. We're at the Mishnah on the bottom of the page of Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis. The Mishnah is going to discuss the relative severity of Smicha versus Tznufa. Which one is more chamer than the other? It turns out each one is more chamer than the other in different ways. And the Gemara is going to tell us how we know that all of the Balei Korban do Smicha, but not all of the Balei Korban do Tnufa. Only one person does Tnufa. And that will bring us to the conclusion, Be'ez Hashem, of the 10th parak of Maseches Menachos. And then we'll begin the 11th parak. And with the 11th parak, we say goodbye to Rashi B'Ksav Yad. And we go back to just regular Rashi in the 11th parak. And the Mishnah is going to discuss the preparation and the baking of the Shtei Alechem and the Lechem Apanim. What specific halachas there were in preparing and baking them. And the Gemara is going to talk about how we know that the Shtei Alechem is baked Dafka one at a time, whereas the Lechem Apanim is Dafka baked, apparently Dafka baked two at a time. And then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, going over to Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to have two different shittos as to the shape of the Lechem Apanim and the entire Amud Beis. And going into tomorrow's daf already, the Gemara is going to discuss how we could, whether there are any proofs as to which opinion is correct as far as the shape of the Lechem Apanim is concerned. We're going to have three questions on the opinion that it was rounded at the bottom and two questions on the opinion that it was squared. And then the Gemara is going to bring three more rayos, so there's going to be a total of eight rayos back and forth in terms of that issue of the exact shape of the Lechem Apanim. It's going to be one of those discussions that if you have I'm sure Art Scroll has graphics, if you have a picture in front of you, much, much easier than trying to describe it in words. Okay, so says the Mishnah on the bottom of Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis, Chomer b'smicha mi b'tnufa u b'tnufa mi b'smicha. There are certain chumras that smicha has over tnufa and certain chumras that tnufa has over smicha. She'echad meinif l'kala chaverim. If you have a carbon that has many shutfim, one person could do tnufa for all of them. But by smicha, not so. Ve'ein echad somech l'kala chaverim. One person cannot do smicha on behalf of everybody else. If there are many shutfim in the carbon, they each have to do the smicha. Chomer b'tnufa. Now tnufa has its own chumra. Sha tnufa no hagis b'kabonos yachir b'kabonos sibur. Tnufas apply both by kabonos yachir and kabonos sibur. B'chayim b'beshchutin. Meaning tnufas knowing by kabonos when it's alive, whether it be a carbon yachid like an asha mitzora or whether it be a carbon sibur like the kifsei atzeres, they require tnufa when the animal's alive together with the shtei alechem. And tnufa also applies by shchutim, whether it be a carbon yachid like a shlamim where the emurim the chaz of the shok require tnufa, or whether it be a carbon sibur like the kifsei atzeres that the chaz of the shok require tnufa after it's dead as well, as opposed to smicha, that it's true that smicha is knowing both by Karbonos Yachid and Karbonos Sibur. That's what we just got through saying. The last Mishnah was just telling us what the exceptions are, that there are certain Karbonos Yachid that do not require smicha, certain Karbonos Sibur that do. So certainly it requires smicha is also something that applies both to Karbonos Yachid and Karbonos Sibur, but not b'chayim or b'shchutin, because smicha only applies b'chayim. You never do smicha on an already shechted animal, so you don't have such a thing. Tnufa also applies both to things that are animals and things that are not animals, like the Minchas Omer, the Minchas Sota, the Lach Mitoda, the Nazir. All those things are Karbanos Mincha that require Tnufa, but you never find Smicha on anything other than a living animal. So it's got to be both living and an animal. That's why the way to read this Mishnah, it's a little bit tricky, because it sounds like the way we're distinguishing between Tnufa and Smicha is that we're saying that Tnufa applies to Karbanos Yachar, Karbanos Tzibur, comma, b'chayim u'b'shchutin, but you can't read it that way, because smicha also applies to Karbonos Yachid, Karbonos Tzibur. There's no comma there. It's Karbonos Yachid, Karbonos Tzibur, b'chayim u'b'shchutin. You have to read it straight, that it's chayim u'b'shchutin is the key part that applies to tnufa, that does not apply to smicha. So now the Gemara discusses. Tan Rabbanan, we have a braisa that explains the basis, the source for this idea that only one person does tnufa, but all of the bailim are going to do smicha. smicha, because the pasuk says in the context of smicha korbano. Pasuk says v'samach yadov al rosh korbano. So we darshin the rabbis kol bali korban l'smicha, that everyone who has an ownership of that korban does smicha. Sheyachal, because you might have thought otherwise. Valodinu, you might have made the following kal v'chomer umat tnufa shenis rabbis b'shchutin nismat b'chovrin. If tnufa where you're mekayim even b'shchutim, even on an animal that's already shechted, and yet you still don't do it, not every member of the group does the tenufa, so smicha shlonis rabbis b'shchutin, smicha which is so much more limited, because smicha is only done on live animals, you never mekayim smicha on an animal that's already dead, so eino din shel smicha b'chovrin, all the more so that you shouldn't be able to do that not every member of the group should have to do the smicha. Tamalomar korbano l'rabbis kol bali korban l'smicha, that's what korbano teaches us, that all the bali korban are involved in the smicha, so everyone who has an ownership of that carbon, in fact, does the smicha. Says the Gemara, "Ay v'tisrabat tenufa b'chovrin b'kal b'chomer." Okay, now that I know from the pasuk that by smicha everyone who has an ownership of the carbon does smicha, why don't I say the same thing should apply by tenufa based on a kal b'chomer? Umas smicha shalom nisrabat b'shchutin nisrabat b'chovrin. If smicha, which is not even done on dead animals, and yet every single member of the group has to do smicha, so tenufa, which has a chum, which is even done on dead animals, all the more so it should have the chumrah that every owner of the animal should have to do the tenufa. Says Gemara, no, mishum delo efshar. Yeah, there would have been makom to be mechayev everyone to do the tenufa, but we can't do that because it's just practically an impossibility. Because hey chilavid, what do you want to do? Linfukulu ba'adei adadi? You want everyone to do the tenufa at the same time? So everyone's going to try to get their hands on it. Obviously, not everyone's going to be able to be touching it directly. Some people are just going to be holding on to other people's hands. Kavya chatzitza, and that's going to be a chatzitza, and the tenufa has to be done without a chatzitza. So that's not a possibility to have the tenufa done by everybody at the same time. And what's the other option? Leinif, lehadar, velenif. Tenufa merachmana velo tenufos. You have to do a single tenufa, not multiple tenufos. So doing tenufa one after the other is also not going to be an option. So this is an interesting idea. We said that it's going to be a chatzitza. There's an interesting tshuva in the Torah Lishma, the Shalosh Tshuvos Torah Lishma, in Siman Kuf Pei Aleph. He was asked about someone who was helping his young child take lulav, and he had not yet been mekayim the mitzvah himself, but he was, before he went to shul, I guess, he wanted his kid to take lulav. So the child was holding lulav, but he didn't have the, I guess, dexterity or whatever to hold it himself, or the koach to hold it himself. He wanted to make sure to teach him the anum, so he held over he put his hands over the child's hands and helped him shake the lulav. And then he realized he hadn't said a bracha yet on lulav. Is he allowed to say a bracha when he takes lulav himself? Was he already yotzei the mitzvah? So is he allowed to say a bracha? So the tzadei asafek are, do you say that yadav shaltino kchot sotz, and therefore he was not yotzei yiskiv anyway, so now we could say his own bracha? Or no, the adayim of the tinok are not considered chatzitza. Why would they not be considered chatzitza? Because generally we have a principle in hilchos chatzitza, min bimino eno chotzeitz. Two like kinds do not create a chatzitza. So the Torah Lishma writes that the guy was definitely not yotzei yischiv when he was holding onto the katan's hands, because the yadav shel katan are a chatzitza between his hands and the lulav. Aye, the Gemara says in Sukkah Lamed Zayin, min bimino eno chotzeitz. He says that's only beguf echa. That's only when it's one body. But over here, the katan and him are shnei gufim, and when you have shnei gufim, even min bimino is going to be chotzeitz. And he brings a raya from our Gemara. Now, what are we saying over here? That you can't have everybody do tenufa at the same time, because then it's going to be a chatzitza. What do you mean? It's all human hands. So min bimino eino chotzeitz. It shouldn't be a problem at all. Elamai, it must be that shnei gufim are a chatzitza, even when it's min bimino. So apparently, the reason we don't say min bimino eino chotzeitz over here, according to the Torah Lishma, is because it's shnei gufim. However, Tosfos Masechta Sukkah, Daf Lamed Zayin, sounds not that way, because Tosfos also asks, Why does the Gemara say you can't do the Tznufa because of Chatzitza? I min b'mino ein chotzeis. And Tosfos doesn't answer Shnei Gufim. Tosfos gives other answers, difficult answers, but other answers. So Tosfos is dochik himself, right? He says that mikol makom pirchihi. Nevertheless, it's still a pircha on the Kal V'chomer, even though maybe in a chidani it could be done. Not clear why that would be the case. And also he says something that's not dark or liel sham is chotzeis, even if it's min b'mino, if it's not normal for that thing to be there. So chidushim neflaim in Tosfos in terms of dine chatzitza, but he doesn't say the simple approach of the Torah Lishma that shnei gufim is going to be chatzitza. Must be that Tosfos rejects that that idea that shnei gufim is not a chatzitza. There is a suffix that the Achronim raised in the Sifas HaKodesh when one person is mainif for everybody. So how does that work? Is it that he's the shliach and everyone is therefore mekayim the mitzvah of tenufa, or that no, tough luck on everybody else? The guy who gets to do the tenufa, he's the one that's mekayim the mitzvah. Everyone else fulfills the requirements of the karban. They're yotze the karban, but they don't get the mitzvah of tenufa. So apparently, minchas chinuch in mitzvah kuf mem aleph ozvav has a suffix whether you can make someone a shliach for a tenufa, whether shlichus works by a tenufa. So that's exactly the same suffix lechora. Is everybody else being yotzei the mitzvah through shlichus, or is nobody being yotzei the mitzvah at all, except for this one fellow who's actually doing the tenufa that's being yotzei the mitzvah? Then we went on to say, okay, so why don't you just take turns? Have one guy do the tenufa, then the next guy do the tenufa. So Gemara said you can't do that. Tenufa amar achmana velo tenufos. So it sounds like dafka because the Torah says tenufa. Now, what about smicha? Does it say smichos? It doesn't say smichos in the pasuk either. So Rashi explains by tenufa it says tenufa. So that's one tenufa. By smicha, it never says smicha. Achas either. It says visamach. So you could be chozer visamach because it talks about the action of being somach. So as Yantav explains, tenufa is a shem davar. It's a thing that you do. So when it says tenufa, it sounds like tenufa achas velo kama tenufos. As opposed to visamach, it's not a shem davar, it's a poel, it's an action. So when the Torah says visamach, so it's saying that you have to do a smicha, but it's not that there's no mashmos that it's only done that can only be done once. So in the Chazon Yecheskel he explains much better. He explains it much more clearly. He says that there's a difference between tenufa and smicha. Tenufa is a din in the korban. A korban requires tenufa, just like isha ena manifa, but the korban requires tenufa. The Rambam writes in Ma'aser Korbanos Perek Tes Halach Tes Zayin. So, because tenufa is a din in the carbon, the woman can't do it, so someone else has to do it because it's a din in the carbon. It's not a din in the bal hakarbon. So tenufa is done once, and that's it. This carbon has had tenufa, and therefore there's no need to do it a second time. And doing it the second time is lomalav lomarid because the carbon already had its tenufa. But smicha is a chiv on the bailim, that the bailim requires smicha on the carbon, and that's why nashim ein so mchos. And therefore, if a woman brings a carbon, no one else does smicha on the carbon either, because it's a din in the bailim, so no one else can do the smicha. So whoever, and that's why whoever is among the Balei HaKarban will do the smicha. So according to that, says the Chazon Yecheskel, we can explain another chilik between smicha and tenufa. Smicha is not shaykh and shlichus. The Mishnah said in yesterday's daf, by tenufa, it is shaykh and shlichus. Like Rashi said, and the explanation is because smicha is a mitzvah and a chovah that's on the guf habaylim, and therefore it's not shaykh shlichus. Whenever you have a mitzvah shabaguf, like we said, you can't send a shliach to put on tefillin for you, you can't send a shliach to eat matzah for you, any chovah saguf, shlichus doesn't work. Tenufa is a din in the carbon. It's not a chava, it's not a chiv on the guf of the bailim, it's a din in the carbon, and mele you're able to send a shliach to do such a thing. So that's how the Chazon Yecheskel explains the chilik between tenufa and smicha. So now the Gemara goes on to explain the smicha b'shchutin lesa. So says Mar, is that true that one of the things that we distinguish between smicha and tenufa is that tenufa is even done after the animal is shechted sometimes, but smicha is not done after the animal is shechted? Says Gemara, smicha b'shchutin lesa. Is that really true that there is no smicha on shchutin? Vatnan, we have a Mishnah Maseches Tamid that tells us bizman shekohen gadol rotzeh lahaktir, when the kohen gadol was interested in being maktir on his own, he would go up the ramp and the skan was biyamino. What does it mean he, Kohen Gadol, wanted to be makter? So the Brisa Maseches Yuma tells us, Ketzad Kohen Gadol makrev chelek Parosh, Omer Olazu Ani Makrav, Milchazu Ani Makrav, that he has the right to pull rank. He has the right to say, you know what, I'm the Kohen Gadol. I decided to do this Avodah today. So when he decides that he wants to bring the Karmat Tamid, this Mishnah Maseches Tamid tells us, so here's what happens. He would go up the ramp, and the Vaskan Bimino, the Skan would walk along its right side. He Gil the Machsa Kevish, they'd get halfway up the ramp. Achas Sgan Biyamino, the Sgan would hold the right hand of the Kohen Gadol, ve'aleihu, and he would help him go up. V'hoshitlo, because I guess it was a long ramp, I guess halfway up, he's already out of breath a little bit, he needs a little support, so the Sgan would give him a little chizik, you know, halfway up. V'hoshitlo Arishon, and then the first Kohen amongst the however number, 11 Kohanim, let's say, Rashi says 11 Kohanim that were involved in the Karban Tamid, the first of those 11 Kohanim would hand the Kohen Harosh Va'Regel, he would give him the Rosh and the Regel of the Karban, and Somech, the Kohen Gadol, Somech Aleim V'Zorkon, the Kohen Gadol would be Somech on that Rosh V'Regel. This is a dead animal, it's already been dismembered, it's already broken up into pieces, and he is being Somech and being Zorek on the Maracha, then Hoshit Hasheni Larishon, the second Kohen would give to the first Kohen, Shtei Yadayim, the two forelegs, Nosa the Kohen Gadol, he would give it to the Kohen Gadol, and Somech Aleim, he would do Smich on them as well, Vizorkan, and would be Zorik them on the Maracha, Nishmat Hasheni Vahalachlo, the second Kohen then left, Vikach Hayumoshitin Lo, Shar Kalevarim, and that's what they would do. The third Kohen would give to the first Kohen, give to the Kohen Gadol, each of the Evarim of the karban, Somech Aleim V'Zorkan, and he would do smicha, and then he would be zorikin on the maracha, on the fire. Ubizman Shu wrote, so Somech V'Acherim Zorkan. If his throwing arm got tired, so he would do the smicha, and someone else would do the zrika. He wouldn't always have to do the zrika himself. One would imagine that that's probably not an easy thing to do. We take animal parts and throwing it at, you know, great distances up the ramp of the Mizbech, so if he ever needed a break, someone else would take over. But bottom line is, he's doing smicha, and it's on a dead animal. And one of the differences that we said in our Mishnah is that smicha is never done on a dead animal. Tznufa is done on a dead animal. Says Mar Amar Abaye, Hasam Yishum Kvodo D'Kohen Gadol. No, that wasn't real smicha. He's not mekayim the mitzvah of smicha when he does this. It's just out of the cover of the Kohen Gadol to make it look like this is his karban, even though really it's not, but to make it look a little bit more like it's his karban. So that's why out of the cover of the Kohen Gadol, he does the smicha. The Achronim ask Birkei Yosef in Yardes in Reshma and Beis points out that Hamahalich Yimin Rabba is a board. It's according to Shulchan Aruch that you're not supposed to walk to the right side of your Rebbe. You're supposed to, it's Ki'ilu, you're showing that you're more prominent than your Rebbe. So they ask why it is that he's allowed to, that the Sagan walks Liyamina Shul Kohen Gadol. If anything, he should walk on the left side of the Kohen Gadol. So the Birkei Yosef suggests that was all Mishum Kvodo Shul Kohen Gadol. The Mishnah says, Gil Machsa Kevish, Achas Sagan Biyamina Ve'aleu Ve'aleu Ve'hoshidlo. He would have to be there to aid him, and that's why he walked on his right side, because it's more kavod to hold him by his right hand than to hold him by his left hand. So whatever is mishum kavodo is not going to be considered hareza bor. As long as a person is not trying to place himself above his rabbi, but he's just trying to show him kavod, that's going to be perfectly fine. Now the exact number of kohanim that were involved in the Karban Tamid seems to be a stira in Rashi over here, because in the Perush HaMiuchas LeRashi it says that the first Kohen would be Moshe the Rosh V'Regel, first one Me'osan Yud Beis Sha'asukim Betamid. From among the 12, the Harishon is for the first of the 12 that are Asukim B'Tamid. So that's what it says in the Perush HaMiuchas, meaning in the top Rashi on the page. Tzom Kachim is Magia in the Rashi, May Osun Yir Aleph, because that's how many are actually involved in the Karban Tamid, in the Mishnayis and Tamid. And Rashi Ksavyad says, what does Rashi Ksavyad say over here? That Hoshit Harishon, where is it? He says, yeah, Hoshit Hasheni, the Yud Gimel Kohanim, Hayu Asukin B'Tamid. Because 13 Kohanim were Osukin B'Tamid. So we have Rashi telling us 12, Rashi telling us 13, and we know that it's really 11. So which is it? How do we reconcile all this? So in the Sefer Chemdas Daniel, he says, Shloshtam Emes, all three are true. The Mishnah Maseches Yuma tells us in Daf Chav Avam Beis, Tamid is Karav Betisha, that there are nine people involved, and Rashi says, that's aside from the two Kohanim, who are Bishchitu Bezrika. So really, it's 11 Kohanim. That, like the Tzom Kachim is Magia, in the Rashi, that makes sense. It's really 11. But Rashi over there says that that's Dafka according to the Shita of Rabbi Ben Yaakov. But the Chum hold that there was an additional Kohen who brought the Evarim from the Kevesh onto the Mizbeach. So there were in fact 12 Kohanim, like Rashi says over here. And the Mishnah in Yuma says that there were Yud Gimel Kohanim because the Mishnah counts the Dishna Mizbeach HaPnimi and the Dishna Menorah as part of the process of the Karban Tamid. And that's Mishnah where Rashi and Ksav Yad got the number 13 from. So it's all a matter of how you count it, of which parts are considered to be Osek in the Karban Tamid and what's not considered to be Osek in the Karban Tamid, but other Avodos or other things that had to get done. Okay, Hadron Lakshtei Midos. Now we begin, Bez Hashem, the 11th parak of the 13 prakam of Maseches Menachos. So says the Mishnah. Shtei Alechem Niloshos Achas Achas. When it comes time to knead the dough of the Shtei Alechem that they brought on Shavuos in the Beis HaMikdash, they would be kneaded just one at a time, each dough at a time. B'nefos Achas Achas. And they were also baked one at a time, not simultaneously. You can't bake them together. Milchas Chinuch points out that it's dafka and Isser to bake them together. They have to be baked one at a time. Not all the Achronim agree with that. The Taras HaKodesh says Nefes Achas means you're even allowed to bake them one at a time, but not that you're mechuyev to do so. And it would turn out that even though it says that the Lisha and the Afia are both done Achas Achas, there's a difference between the two. The Lisha has to be done Achas Achas. The Afia is allowed to be done Achas Achas. That's a little bit funny. The Pashtus is like the Minchas Chinuch, that if the Lisha has to be done Achas Achas, Mistama, the Afia also has to be done Achas Achas. What's the reason for that halacha, that the Lisha has to be done Achas Achas, that you can only knead the dough one at a time? So the Chazon Ish writes that the reason for this halacha is because we have to be medaktic in the measurement of flour for each of the Shtei Alechem, that each one needs exactly an Isaron, the shear of the Chalos. Each Chala has to be exactly the Isaron of Solas. So if you were to make one big dough and then split it, you may not be splitting it exactly in a way. You know, there are parts of the dough where there could be a higher concentration of flour, a lower concentration of flour. You may not be splitting it exactly in a way where it's exactly one Isaron for each. And therefore, since Chazanish comes out, that a big nafkamina ladina. If this is the reason, he says, so if a person, if they did accidentally do it all at one time, do the lisha all at one time, it would be possibly even b'dieved, because they're never going to have the exact isaron that's required for each dough. They can never have the confidence that they're going to have the exact isaron that's required, and that's why it's going to be possible even b'dieved. So that's a big chiddush in terms of the halacha based on the reason for this halacha that the Chazon Ish points out. Okay, so says the Mishnah for the lechem apanim niloshos achas achas v'ne'afos shtayim shtayim. The lechem apanim is kneaded one at a time, but it's baked two at a time. Over here also the Achronim aren't sure. What does that mean? Baked two at a time. Does that mean it must be baked only two at a time, and no more, or minimum at least two at a time have to be baked together? Says Fasemis and Daik and Rambam. The Rambam in Pirushim Shnayis writes that all these malachos they had a Kabbalah biyadam, that this is the way that it's supposed to be. So it sounds like if it's a Kabbalah biyadam, two at a time was the Kabbalah that you have to do. That you dafka have to do two at a time. Menachas Chinuch says not that way. The Menachas Chinuch Mitzvah Tzadizayin says that they could do more than two at a time. It doesn't. We're just saying that it has to be at least two at a time, as opposed to the Shtei Alechem, which is even done one at a time. Then the Mishnah tells us ubedefus hayaos. How did they get the lechem apanim to take its shape? So it wasn't magic. I mean, they made it, the magic was that it stayed, right? That it didn't fall. But they did whatever they could to make sure that it would stay. So they made it in a defus. They made it in a form that was that shaped it in that way. And not only that, when they took it out of the oven, they put it into another form pan that it fit perfectly, so that it shouldn't fall apart. Because when it's still hot, it could certainly fall apart if it's not, if its shape is not being maintained. Tosus brings a raya that these defusim for the lechem the lechem was kept in them until you put it directly on the shulchan on Shabbos. But on the shulchan, it had to be directly on the shulchan without the defusim. And Tosus says that's what when the Torah refers to ka'arosav, that's what it's referring to amongst the klei shulchan. Ka'arosav are the defusim that they used to prepare the lechem. Okay, so he discusses whether that's actually true or not. But okay, says Gemara, minani mili. How do I know that the shtei lechem are niloshos achas achas, whereas the lechem apanim, you do the kneading also achas achas, but it's baked two at a time. So Tan Rabbanim, we have a braisa. The pasuk says, as far as lechem apanim is concerned, shnei esronim yeah chala achas. So the fact that it tells us how much flour is in one challah, melamish niloshos achas achas, it must be that you're supposed to knead them just one at a time. Minayin shaf shtei lechem kach. Good. So I have a pasuk that tells me that the lechem apanim has to be nilosh achas achas. How do I know that the shtei lechem is kneaded one at a time? Tamalomer yihiyah. So it's supposed to be yihiyah, meaning it's the same as some other lechem. It is. Just like another lechem. What's the other lechem? Just like the lechem apanim. Uminayin shafiyas and shtayim shtayim. How do I know that we bake the lechem apanim two at a time? Tamalom v'samta osam. That the first sima, that the kohen places the chalos, should be in the oven, which is osam, plural. So it sounds like there's more than one being placed in the oven at the same time. So yachla shtei lechem kein. So I would assume that yihiyah, right? The shtei lechem is supposed to have the same din as lechem apanim. No, tamalom osam. That's why it says osam. Some the lechem apanim you bake shtayim shtayim, but not the shtei alechem. Osam is a meal. It says, well, wait a second, you just used osam twice. You can't use the same word twice. Hi osam, ha pikte. You already used it to tell me that the lechem apanim is baked two at a time. So it can't also be used to tell me that the shtei alechem is not baked two at a time. Imkein lemakra visamtam. My visamta osam. It could have just combined the words and made one word visamtam. The fact that it says visamta osam is an indication sham minat tarti, that there's supposed to be two drushas over here. Number one, that the lechem apanim is baked two at a time, and second drasha, that dafka the lechem apanim is baked two at a time, but the shtei lechem is only baked one at a time. Tanur Rabbanus, we have a braisa. V'samta osam, it could have said v'nasata osam. Forget about the fact that it could have said v'samtam. That's if you're already using the word sima. But why sima? Why v'samta osam and not v'nasata osam? So it sounds like b'defus, that you're putting it in a defus, in a form pan that's holding its form. Ushloshu defusinheim. Now, unlike the Mishnah, which only identified two defusim that you're putting the lechem in at different points, the Braisa tells us that there are in fact three defusim. It's not a machlokas, it's just giving us more insight into the process. Nosel the defus v'adayin hi batzik. They would put it into a defus while it was still dough, to shape the dough. Ukmin defus hayla betanur. And not only that, when they would put it into the oven had its own shape, where form pan in the oven that they would put the lechem apanim in. Them when they take it out of the oven, they'd put it into a third form pan to again keep its form so that it shouldn't get ruined. The Rambam writes that all of these defusim in the Rambam in the fifth parak of Musafin, he said they were made out of zahav. Rashi on Chumash in Shmos Parachafei says that the defus that the lechem was baked in was made out of barzel, and after they baked it and they put it into a defus, Afterwards, that was made out of Zahav. So the Minchas Chinuch, the Mitzvah Tzadi Zayin, says very nice that Rashi says that. He has no idea where Rashi gets that. It doesn't seem that there's any Maimar Chazal that says that the one in the oven was Barzel and the other one was gold. So the Acharonim explained it was Misvara, meaning gold isn't going to do well in the oven. Gold would get destroyed in the oven. Just like Yom HaKippurim, were not Chote B'Shal Zahav. They didn't dig out the Ketores, the burning Ketores, with Zav, because Zav is Meskalkel B'Gechalim. So the Torah is Chasal, Mamonim Shal Yisrael. We don't want the Zav to get ruined. So that's why Rashi said it must be that it was Barzel, that it couldn't have been gold. So it says Gemara, V'lahadru L'Defus Kama. Why do they need a third Defus? After they take it out of the oven, couldn't they just put it back in the Defus that originally shaped the bread when they were arranging it as dough? Says Mark, even dafi la nafcha. No, because it expands when it bakes. So since it expands, it's not going to fit into that original defus anymore. There is a discussion in the Achronim, what exactly this defus was. Was it something that you would put the bread into, or is it something that you shaped the bread around the defus? Meaning, let's assume the shape that probably we're all picturing of the Lechem HaPanim, where it's flat at the bottom and it has two walls that go up the side, right? Maybe even it goes over the top a little bit. So what does that mean? Did they have something that went inside sort of the box that's being made inside the Lechem HaPanim, or is it something on the outside of the of the Lechem HaPanim? So Tosfos writes that it's unclear, he says, how it was made, but there are a couple of rayas. If the lechem was betocha defus, how could the Gemara say that the lechem could expand? It wouldn't be able to expand if it was being held by a pan from the outside. It can't expand beyond the walls of that pan. But if the defus was inside the lechem, so you understand that the lechem is going to expand. Also, he says in all of Shas, we always find this Indian called Radias Hapas. What's Radias Hapas? That the bread is stuck to the oven and you have to pull the dough off of the oven. Well, how do you have a Radias Hapas by Lechem HaPanim if it's inside a pan? It would be like we do. You just pull the pan out of the oven. So it must be that it wasn't in a pan. Those are some of the rayas, that it wasn't in a pan, but that the defus was inside the lechem. But there's a discussion. There are rayas in both directions, exactly how it was done. Okay, but now we get to the primary discussion of Lechem HaPanim, which is, what is the shape of the Lechem HaPanim? So Itmar, Lechem HaPanim ketzarosin oso. What is the shape that they would make the Lechem HaPanim? So two basic shitos as to the shape of the Lechem HaPanim. Rabbi Chanina Amar, kminteva prutza. Like an open box. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kmin Sfina Rokedas, like a dancing boat. So, okay, that's, you know, open box maybe, you know, dancing boat. So what exactly? So open box, so that flat at the bottom, and it goes at right angles up two sides, not all four sides, like a mamish an open box. I mean, we would picture an open box that has four sides, but no, only two walls of the box. The other two walls don't exist, and no top to the box, right? So that's just the open box one. Sfina Rokedes, the way it seems to be described by Rashi, or certainly the way Tosfos describes Rashi, is that it's round at the bottom. It's almost like a perfect circle, except that it's got slits in the top, so you can see the two sides. So there's something in the top that splits the two sides from each other, but it comes to a very small edge at the bottom. So it's like this round shape that comes to an edge at the very bottom. So that's going to be challenging in a number of ways, meaning how do you deal with bread that's shaped in that way? So the Gemara is going to ask three different kashas on the shita that holds that it's a sfina rokedes. So bishlam l'man yamar kvin teva prutza. If it's, you know, we're dealing with right angles and it's, you know, it's like a box, like an open box. So I understand that the bezichi lavona could go on top of the lechem apanim because the lechem apanim was flat, so you could put the spoons of lavona on the lechem apanim. The Mishnah is going to have a machlokas abishol and the rabbanon where the bezichi lavona went exactly. The rabbanon hold that they were munachim al halechem elyon on the top loaves of lechem apanim. Whereas Abishol holds that it was bein amarachos, that it was between the two rows of lechem apanim. So obviously this kasha is only a kasha if you assume that the bezichei levona had to somehow be balanced on the lechem apanim directly. So, you know, if it's a flat bottom, I understand you could put bezicha levana on top of it, and it's not going to destroy the whole thing. It's not going to flip the whole thing over. But if you're dealing with something that comes to an edge at the bottom, and it's like a dreidel, right? I guess that's a good right. The bottom is like a dreidel, so you know it's not going to be able to hold anything when to put on top of it. Man yom kvinsfina rokedes hechav yasu bezichin. How could the bezichin sit on it? So says Gemara, makom avaduhu. It must be that before they bake the lechem, they would make a flat area for the hamadas bezichin. They would make it in such a way where the bezichin were able to sit on it. They would reshape part of it to allow for the bezichin. Okay, bishlam leman yamar, second kasha. Bishlam leman yamar kamin teva prutza. If you assume it's like an open box, haynu davi yasvi kanim. We're going to say that they had these sticks that they would put on top of the lechem. Three sticks on top of each lechem to separate it between one lechem and the next lechem. Leman yamar kamin svina rokedes. But if it was shaped in a round way, so the sticks on the side have nowhere to sit because it comes to like an edge on the side. It doesn't, it's, you know, a box is the same length all the way across. So the sticks can go in order, but when you have it more rounded, so on the side it comes to an edge, it's not, the sticks have nowhere to go. So how did the sticks sit on the edges? Says Mar Morsha Avadahu. They clearly played with the dough a little bit to the point where they made a space for the sticks to, so it's mostly round, but then they also made they made it a little bit longer off of the edge in order for the sticks to sit on the bread. Says Gemara, a third kasha. Bishlam man yamar kamin teva prutza. If you say it's an open box, haynu samchilei snifin lelechem. There were boards that were supposed to support the lechem. So if you put two flat boards along the side of the lechem, it makes sense that the boards would support the lechem if the lechem is flat on the side, is just standing up straight at a right angle. Al man yamar kamin svina roked. But if you can say it's like the Sfina Rokedas that sort of like comes to an edge on the side, how did the boards that you put on the side of the lechem help hold it together? The snifim are only touching the very edges of the lechem at the top. They're not touching the bottom of the lechem at all, and they're not touching the entire sides of the lechem, just the very edges of the lechem. How does that provide any support? It says Gemara, da'agiluhu mi'agel, that when they made these snifim, they rounded them at the bottom so that the snifim were not purely flat. They were rounded to be able to take the shape of the lechem that they were supporting. So now the Gemara takes the other side, and we're going to ask two kashas on the other shita. Bishlam man yamar kamin svina rokedes. If you say it's like a svina rokedes, I understand haynu to be inan snifin. I understand why it needs support in order to stand, because it's inherently unstable based on the shape that it is. Al man yamar kamin teva prutza snifin lamali. But if you hold this just like an open box, what do you need supports on the side? It should be able to stand itself anyway. It says Mara agav yukra delechem talach. No, the concern is that the weight of the breads, you have to realize that the breads are piled six on top of each other. So the weight of the upper breads and their matzah, right? So they're these tall matzos, so very dense. The weight of the bread is going to crush the bottom breads. So that's why we need the support to stop it from crushing the bottom breads. Bishlam man yamar kamin svina rokedes. Another raya, if you assume like the shita of svina rokedes, so I understand, snifin al gabi shulchan munachim, that the support could sit on the shulchan, because the lechem, the part of the lechem that touched the shulchan was very narrow. It was just the bottom edge that touched the shulchan, so the snifim can go underneath it and actually be on the shulchan. There's space for it on the shulchan. El man yamar kamin teva prutza snifin echem manachlu. But if you hold that it was teva prutza, that it was a flat bottom of the lechem, so the support boards should have no room on the shulchan. Says Mar, you're right. Aram manachlu. It was the support boards were on the ground. They weren't actually resting on the shulchan. I mean, Aramanachlu, the Gemara is asking, says Gemara, in. Yeah, that's exactly right. Amar Rabbi Abbar Mamal, Divrei Omer Kamin Svina Rokedes, Sniv Al Gabi Shulchan Menachem, Divrei Omer Kamin Teva Prutza, Sniv Al Gabi Karko Menachem. That it all depends whether Yehudu was Svina Rokedes or Teva Prutza, where exactly were the Snifin, where exactly were these support boards. If it was like the Svina, so the support boards actually had room on the shulchan, but otherwise you have to say that it was on the ground. So now the Gemara says three more rayas. Kamanaz Hada Amar of Yehuda. Who does Rav Yehuda's shita follow when he says Halechem Maminas Asnifin, Vasnifin Mamidinas Halechem? That each one supports the other. The Lechem supports the Snifin, and the Snifin supports the Lechem. Kamandi Amar Kamin Svin Rokedas. That has to be like the shita that says that Svin Rokedas, where the Snifin were on the Shulchan and they were being supported by the Lechem that was on them, and the Snifin themselves were obviously supporting the Lechem as well, so that they could stay on their edges. Meisvei says Gemara a second raya on the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan holds that the tzura of the lechem was svina rokedas kimin kaveres. The Bryce says that they had a defus that was like a kaveres hayula betanur that was in the oven. V'doma kimin tavla merubaas. So it sounds like it was squared. It says it was like a board of wood that was merubaas. So sounds like teva prutza. That's a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan, because the lechem was not meruba, it was kesvina rokedes. Says Gemara, ema upia doma kemintavla merubaas. No, the opening of it was like a tavla merubaas, so you could put the lechem in so with ease, but then at the bottom it actually took on the shape of the lechem. And then a final raya, tanya kemandi yomar kemintsvina rokedes. We have a brisa that supports the sheet of svina rokedes. Titanya arba'a snifin shalzav hayusham mufutsalin mirashehen kemindo Kronin hayu shesomchen venas alechem shudoma kemin svina rokedes. Meaning as explicitly as possible, it says, I'm not sure what all those other words mean, but at the end of the Brisa says that it's doma like a svina rokedes. So the Brisa describing what it was like in the oven describes a svina rokedes. So that's the raya to that sheet. Okay, but Hashem will pick up with the bayilahu tomorrow.